Okay, paper 102, section 8, which is old single column, page 1127. Like I mentioned right at the end of last week, this final section, again, like you've seen them do often here in the religion paper, since they're meant to be a full set. The final section on the evidences of religion here is designed to roll over, you know, into the next paper, the reality of religious experience. So this last section of paper 102 really serves as a part of the intro into the next paper. Obviously, the key thing that they're wanting you to really spend some more time reflecting on is the literalness, the direct, tangible character of the experience that you can have with God and all that comes with God. You'll see as we start right out here in this first paragraph, like they've been doing so much, they're challenging you to see this clearly by making appeals to logical consciousness. And they're saying, just step back, think about it for a second. There's no question about this. It's self-evident. We'll talk about that here. Read the first paragraph.
8. The evidences of religion. The highest evidence of the reality and efficacy of religion consists in the fact of human experience, namely that man, naturally fearful and suspicious, innately endowed with a strong instinct of self-preservation and craving survival after death, is willing fully to trust the deepest interests of his present and future to the keeping and direction of that power and person designated by his faith as God. That is the one central truth of all religion. As to what that power or person requires of man in return for this watch care and final salvation, no two religions agree. In fact, they all more or less disagree.
Okay, so obviously that final point is, forget about all that folderol. You know, that's irrelevant to the main point. You know, so often skeptics, you know, will point to that menagerie of thought, you know, and say, you know, how could there be anything real here? I mean, just look at it. You know, it's just a random thought generator, a domain of random thought generation. But, you know, notice that interesting little twist that they put, you know, to think about that most fundamental drive that you have coming from your animal nature, you know, about self-preservation. And notice what people throughout all of history have been doing with that. You know, if they're willing to put that into the hands of this thing they call God, they must not think that that's just a fantasy that they have in their head. They must think that that's real. If people had even the slightest doubt that that was not real, they wouldn't be putting, you know, their self-preservation in the hands of that figment. And you notice that's, you know, the italicized words there. Fact. It's self-evident that it's not figment, that it must be a fact. And this is just another way, you know, that you can logically approach the certainty of that fact. So they've just been doing it over and over. It's really marvelous how they, you know, they really spend a lot of time thinking about everything that a human will acknowledge. And it's like, well, okay, think about that. What does that imply? You know, they've really done a replete job in that regard in these religion papers. Okay, so let's keep going here.
Regarding the status of any religion in the evolutionary scale, it may best be judged by its moral judgments and its ethical standards. The higher the type of any religion, the more it encourages and is encouraged by a constantly improving social morality and ethical culture. We cannot judge religion by the status of its accompanying civilization. We had better estimate the real nature of a civilization by the purity and nobility of its religion. Many of the world's most notable religious teachers have been virtually unlettered. The wisdom of the world is not necessary to an exercise of saving faith in eternal realities.
Okay, so again, you know, trying to help us to separate basically the material and the spiritual issues. But, you know, notice that, again, you know, we've talked about, if it really is the case that we're you know, on that threshold of transitioning from early civilization to advancing civilization, you know, what are those indispensables for advanced or advancing civilization to be a progressing phenomenon? You know, a phenomenon that has the vital input that it needs. You know, what is indispensable to it? True religion, true monogamy, prayer, God consciousness. Okay, right there, we cannot judge religion by the status of its coming civilization, obviously. We had better, you know, just notice that they, you know, we had better. See, it's high time that you start recognizing if you're going to have something that can truly be called civilization, you know, something that's less potential and more actual, you had better bring true religion in as the real, you know, initial measure. You're not going to have advanced civilization without true religion. So just stressing that again. You know, and we all know that those final comments about being unlettered, and it's even true, like we've mentioned, when you're talking about the three cosmic intuitions, it's not required that you significantly develop the first cosmic intuition, you know, your relationship to it, and then the second, and then the third, you know, the spiritual insight. You can just zoom right in on that spiritual insight. That may be okay as an initial jump start, sort of, but, you know, you have to be very careful about pursuing the threefold character out of its threefold character, because it's a more dynamic domain. There's much more potential for danger in play, and you need that full balanced character of all three relationships to the cosmos to keep yourself in equilibrium if you're really going to try to step out of square one. It's not just an issue of the, you know, your development of the adjutants and, you know, and your basic intellectual character, you know, like they're pointing to here. It's, you know, it's even when you start directly addressing your cosmic character. And of course, that's what you mean by true religion. It's religion that has all three cosmic insights blended into it in a harmony.
The difference in the religions of various ages is wholly dependent on the difference in man's comprehension of reality and on his differing recognition of moral values, ethical relationships, and spirit realities. Ethics is the eternal social or racial mirror which faithfully reflects the otherwise unobservable progress of internal spiritual and religious developments. Man has always thought of God in the terms of the best he knew, his deepest ideas and highest ideals. Even historic religion has always created its God conceptions out of its highest recognized values. Every intelligent creature gives the name of God to the best and highest thing he knows. Religion, when reduced to terms of reason and intellectual expression, has always dared to criticize civilization and evolutionary progress as judged by its own standards of ethical culture and moral progress. While personal religion precedes the evolution of human morals, it is regretfully recorded that institutional religion has invariably lagged behind the slowly changing mores of the human race. Organized religion has proved to be conservatively tardy. The prophets have usually led the people in religious development. The theologians have usually held them back. Religion, being a matter of inner or personal experience, can never develop very far in advance of the intellectual evolution of the races.
Those two paragraphs together there, you can see they're pointing out how difficult this is unless you have a full balanced system in play, that there's all kinds of different ways that the things get held back. That first issue, like that they're introducing in that little paragraph there, you know, if you've got the theologians assessing meanings and values at a given time and creating a philosophy, a religious philosophy, a theology about that, but, you know, the Supreme is not static. The Supreme keeps moving. And so at some point, invariably, you know, even in the past and ever more so, you know, going forward here, the Supreme is going to move the facts in advance of, you know, the applicability, really, of that whole theological perspective. And you've got to move forward. And, you know, they're alluding to, you know, this whole bit of this tendency for an institutionalized religionist to, when he sees even actual progress, not so-called progress, but, an actual evolutionary progress, because it's different, he really denies the progress aspect of it. Basically, he's declaring there is no up, it's just everything is in the plane. That's just one of those things that's over in another place in the plane. It's not in the divine place that we've, institutionalized, and therefore it's evil. We all know, we've talked about that when we're going through all the civilization. That's one of the big things that the world is going to have to wrestle a lot with, is all of the people who are really dominated by a more sanghic viewpoint, a more static viewpoint of ourselves, seeing progress as evil. Now, of course, those who do recognize progress have to challenge themselves to be a little bit more critically minded in distinguishing between true and false progress. There's a problem on the other side too. So it's sad to record all over the place. That's obviously the point they're making. But then notice again that even though it's true that personal religion precedes the evolution of human morals, individuals have to have this newer sense of the cosmos in their minds before they can socialize it, obviously. Like they say in that very last sentence, there's always going to be a limit to how far you'll be able to go even internally when you're so, enmeshed in a benighted domain. That's the beauty of revelation. It allows you to have a space where you can contemplate in the absence of all the ignorance that's all around you. And you can begin to see things that you just wouldn't have picked up on in the midst of all that befogging thought out there. It's a very difficult thing to advance. Religions don't want society to advance, but the lack of quality in society is really preventing the individuals from conceiving of that which could be socialized to advance society. So it's a bit of a circular problem. Sanghic is potential. That's why every world has an Adam and an Eve that comes to actualize that potential. Because it's mostly potential, it's just inherently static. That which is actual is in motion. Everything in the universe is in motion. That's an actuality, except the Isle of Paradise. It's just an inherent aspect of sanghic consciousness. And that's why, Adam and Eve come in a very early stage on every world and get everyone over that problem, get the potentials able to actualize, by their upliftment. So because we didn't have, the necessary upliftment, we still have a lot of sanghic consciousness, regardless of skin color. There's a strong tendency for people to think in static terms and not dynamic terms. Now, why? What's the real issue besides just saying potential actual? Remember that the primary thing in terms of the mind that the Adamic upliftment is doing is it's fostering greater linkage to the seventh adjutant, to the spirit of wisdom. You have the six sanghics and the first six adjutants, and then, that seventh race, in a normal world that doesn't have the extra races like we do, that seventh race comes to foster the seventh adjutant. Why? It's much more than just an end in itself. Like we pointed out, the seventh adjutant is what allows the Holy Spirit to engage. If you don't have a lot of seventh adjutant engaging, you don't have a lot of Holy Spirit in circuiting, which means there's very limited potential for personality to actualize, because personality is spirit pattern, and it needs spirit. It's not mind pattern. It's spirit pattern. And so if you don't have a lot of that, you're just not going to have a lot of personal character being actualized. Will is not going to be exercised that much. It's mostly just going to be selves making decisions. And one of the key things here is personality is what gives that which started as mere animal origin a sense of the future. It gives you foresight. You don't have foresight without personality. If you don't have much foresight, if you're basically just thinking about the moment, does that not foster stasis? In order to progress, you have to see what's ahead of you and reach out and grab it and pull yourself to it. If you don't do that, then you have the very, very, that's taking a father-like action. If you don't do that as an individual, then it's just the very slow, glacial God the Mother influence progressing you in spite of yourself, over generations and centuries and millennia, very unconsciously. This is one of the great difficulties, and it's why a lot of people in the world see the United States as the great Satan. It's because we proclaim that progress is good, and they say no. Not only do we think it's bad genetically, from our Sangic roots, but we've created a theology about that. God says progress is bad, and we have the documents to prove it. This makes it very difficult for mankind to move forward. Okay, let's take that last little, and you can see what they do here, like they love to do. Let's bring it right home. How do you engage this? Look to the example.
But religion is never enhanced by an appeal to the so-called miraculous. The quest for miracles is a harking back to the primitive religions of magic. True religion has nothing to do with alleged miracles, and never does revealed religion point to miracles as proof of authority. Religion is ever and always rooted and grounded in personal experience. And your highest religion, the life of Jesus, was just such a personal experience, man, mortal man, seeking God, and finding Him to the fullness during one short life in the flesh. While in the same human experience there appeared God seeking man and finding him to the full satisfaction of the perfect soul of infinite supremacy. And that is religion, even the highest yet revealed in the universe of Nebadon, the earth life of Jesus of Nazareth. Presented by a Melchizedek of Nebadon.
Okay, well, that pretty much speaks for itself. We know that's why they spent as many pages as they did coordinating that essential knowledge of the fourth epical revelation. It's the most direct way that you can have an example that you can reflect on of what the details are like a little bit more. We often in these religion papers, we're talking a bit abstractly because, that's kind of the point. They want us to get the real nature of all this in our minds clear so that when we go to reflect on the life of Jesus, we see how he was trying to strike step with that pattern. If you don't know what he's trying to do, most of what he does is going to be, let's move on to the next thing. I don't know why he did that. It's just not going to have a lot of value if you don't see its cosmic character. Jesus didn't directly spend very much time speaking to cosmic consciousness because that wasn't his mission. He was here as the spiritual uplifter. He was here to really awaken us to the fact that we're children of God, so that there's a potential. There isn't even a potential for anything until that's awakened. But the midwayers then give you that whole life and teachings of Jesus with a cosmic template overlaid on it. Like I've pointed out many times, if you search for the word cosmic or cosmos in the Jesus papers, you'll see that the only time it's in there is when it's coming out of the mouths of the midwayers. It doesn't come out of Jesus' mouth. They're the ones that are coordinating the fourth epical revelation relative to the fifth, teaching us about cosmic consciousness. They're helping you to do what I was just saying, to relate the facts and the knowledge of that life to the cosmos that's presented so extensively in the first three parts of the book. So that the fourth epical revelation can be a living experience for you and not just a bunch of dead facts. You can't obey facts. You have to see the truth. And the truth flows from the facts towards the cosmos. So you have to not only see the facts, but you have to see the cosmos. And then you'll see the flow that you want to strike step with.